Hey gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org, the free speech platform that John Stadtmiller made before we thought we needed free speech platforms. Well, it's there, and so keep it going. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, go to Co-Certified. We've got kosher certified politicians who are really selling our country out. Go to Co-Certified because we've got to lead a kosher free, what is it? A non-kosher certified lifestyle. I'll get this right, but it's important. We want a non-kosher certified society with non-kosher certified politicians. Today is Monday, but I will probably be broadcasting this Tuesday because of the holidays. I have with me Mark Collett. Mark, welcome to the show.
Hello, my friend, and happy holidays to you and all your listeners.
Well, thank you very much. It is Labor Day. It is Labor Day, which is the traditional end of the summer season, and it means it's the beginning of the school year. It's the beginning of the autumn season. It's the beginning of the season where older Americans like myself are inundated with mailings from insurance. I'm not that old, but I still get a whole bunch of mailings from insurance companies trying to sell me their insurance. And, you know, you've done these videos on the Christmas adverts, on the advertising industry, and I recommend anybody. Can they still go to your YouTube channel and find that, or do they have to go to BitChute?
I think it's best that people go to BitChute. I mean, I'm still there on YouTube. I'm still hanging on in there. But I would say let's start building alternate platforms. I mean, BitChute is getting a lot bigger. My subscriber rate is rising over there. I'm putting exclusive content onto BitChute now. All my previous content's on BitChute. There's a huge library of my previous videos, of old episodes of Patriotic Weekly Review and This Week on the Alt-Right. There's all my old scripted short info videos, they're all there, all in their unedited form. No age gates, no restrictions, no comments removed, all there so you can view them as you should. That's over on BitChute. So yes, please support me there. Obviously, sub to me on YouTube as well. But if you're going and sharing links to my work, please share the BitChute links because they're going to be around for a lot longer. They're safe links. So please support alternative platforms like BitChute, like Gab, like Telegram, like Minds. All of these platforms are free speech platforms, and we shouldn't be doing Google's work for them. We shouldn't be promoting Google platforms like YouTube. We shouldn't be promoting platforms like Facebook or Twitter, platforms where we are being deplatformed, platforms that are anti-free speech and most importantly anti-white. So please check my work out on BitChute.
Indeed. So free speech platforms like RBN, although RBN is it's a traditional network and it's not social media, so not everybody can sign up for posting on RBN, but you can find all my shows there. And I think I'm going to take No White Guilt's Jason's advice, and I got kicked off YouTube. I should sign up for two alternative platforms, at least one, and I will sign up for BitChute. I looked at your channel, and yeah, that looks like maybe it's the wave of the future. Anyway, it is the season where that myself and many other older Americans, boomers, us boomers, we get bombarded with all of this insurance stuff. And so I've picked up one, and I've noticed that the covers almost always have black people on them. And I think in my area, most of the older people are white, but it's almost always black. So here's one from Aetna. And on the cover, it shows... You can see a black man from behind, and he's dancing with an older black woman, and he's in a business suit, and she's well dressed, and they're off at some nice place outdoors, and that's the cover. And then you open it up, you get to the first picture, and it shows a black family, and they're all rushing down from the front porch, and they're greeting what appears to be a woman in military fatigues. She's some a master sergeant, I can tell from the insignia on her shoulder. And they're welcoming her home because it says welcome home on the porch. And they're all happy. And then you turn the page and you see a couple smiling white people. Well, they're smiling. Well, what is it? It is a older woman, and she is pushing a wheelchair for her son. And I'm going to describe the model because this is an actual model. He's sitting in the wheelchair. He's missing both his legs, and in the one hand you see he's missing all of his fingers. And this is the actual model. And so that's for white people. Then you turn the pages, and then you see a picture of an older white woman. She's in a kitchen, and she's just eating salad. And she's not really, she might be smiling a little bit, kind of Mona Lisa, but she's actually just alone. And then on the same page, you see a happy black grandmother, and she's with her granddaughter who's happy, and they're just so happy together. Then you turn the page, and you've got a white woman, and she's watering her flowers in her garden. Oh, but wait, she's missing a leg, and this model is actually missing the leg. So here you go. So most of the pictures are of black people, and the white people they show are either lonely or mutilated. So what kind of message are they telling us?
Well, I think they're telling us, they're relentlessly telling us that we're either the bad guys or we're in some way defective, we're the comic relief, we're the buffoon. We're the ones that you laugh at, that you ridicule, that get everything wrong. I mean, I talked about this on my Christmas adverts video, and I don't want to bore the listeners with a story I've already told many times over. But the issue on that Tesco Christmas advert was every single mixed race family, every single non-white family were basically perfect families. They were played out as families that you'd want to be a part of, as the archetype of a nuclear family that works well together, where everyone's respectful, everyone gets on. But when you get to the white families are the ones doing it the wrong way. The white families are the ones with the surly teens. They're the ones with the mothers that can't cope. They're the ones that can't get the turkey in the oven. You know, the mother's bashing the turkey into the oven, and it's clearly far too big to fit in the oven. And because of that, roast potatoes are flying out the pan, the fat's spilling on the floor, the turkey's getting damaged, the family are chirping in, and she's shouting, "Get out of the room! I don't want you in here, you're doing me in." And this is Christmas Day, but in the white families, Christmas Day is clear dysfunctionality. It's madness. It's chaos. And in other scenes, you see, you know, the white man, he's alone on Christmas Day. He's alone in his big, cold mansion, and no one's around him, and Christmas is a lonely time for him. But all these families that feature ethnic minorities or mixed race families, their Christmases are the perfect Christmas. You know, the Muslims are greeting each other and exchanging Christmas presents. The Indians, they've got a beautiful house, and they're basting the bird in the most harmonious way possible in this beautiful kitchen, and the bird's going in a perfect oven, and they know exactly what they're doing. And the black family, they're sat around the table, you know, mum, dad, the kids, and the kids are, you know, they're not doing anything wrong, but they're like, "Oh, can the dog come to the table?" And they're like, "Oh, you know the rules, son, Barney's not allowed at the table." And everything's this sort of picture perfect vision of how a family should be. But when you look at the white families, it's anything but. And this is a kind of something that's pushed time and time again in all forms of, you know, entertainment, in advertising. It's everywhere. And I always remember seeing this in The Simpsons. I mean, you know, everyone sort of has had a laugh at The Simpsons from time to time, but Homer Simpson is a buffoon. He is a clown. He's this fat, feckless jerk. You know, the head of the house, the man that they should all be looking up to, the provider, the role model. He's the buffoon. He's the comic relief. Mm. He's the one that gets it all wrong. He's the one that always fails. He pays no attention to his children. He pays no attention at work. He's overweight. He's got bad health. He's boring. He's dull. He's not very intelligent. And that's the American dad. That's what the media want the American dad to be.
By the way, there's another cartoon called American Dad, and it's the dad's a CIA agent, but he's got all of the same, well, aside from being out of shape, he's got all the same characteristics. And it's made by Seth MacFarlane, who also does Family Guy. And, of course, a dad on Family Guy is, if anything, worse than Homer Simpson.
Well, Family Guy is one of those shows that I have seen. Now, I've got to admit, some of the jokes in The Simpsons, some of the things that happen in The Simpsons, the earlier episodes anyway, the earlier seasons, as you Americans call them, the earlier seasons of The Simpsons were quite funny, and some of them, you know, hold up today. However, I've never found Family Guy even remotely amusing. I don't find it funny. I don't really watch really any TV now, but I've watched a few episodes of that. Didn't find it particularly funny. Again, the male in the family, he's a complete buffoon. His wife is painted as basically a little bit of a whore. His son is somehow mentally defective. The older son, that is.
Yeah, he's mentally retarded, except in order to make him smarter in one episode, they wanted him to be smarter, so they had him convert to Judaism.
Really? I didn't. As I say, I don't watch the show. I think it's trash. I mean, his daughter, they all bully the daughter, and they make jokes at her expense, leading her to be mentally unstable. And again, this is a something that's meant to be, you know, comedy. I don't find it funny. I found it quite boring, actually. But again, it contains all of the sort of things we're talking about now, sort of insults that the barbs aimed at the white male, at the white family unit. And you'll see this sort of strand, this strand of thought that goes throughout all of the planning stages that it must do in Hollywood, in the media, in, you know, the TV executive boardrooms. But as it does this, you can see it's all aimed at attacking the family, belittling the family, attacking the male, making it look as if the head of the house is actually a clown, a cretin, the comic relief, not suitable really to be running the home. And when you see the opposite of that is usually families of other colours. Mm-hmm. And yeah. I'm sure soon it'll be families. Well, they're not really families, are they? You'll have two men together raising a child, and they'll be doing so in the most wonderful way. And the child will be intelligent and respectful, and will be speaking back to them in a polite manner. Whereas the traditional nuclear family, actually the only family, the real family—that's a better term, isn't it? The real family. They'll be the ones that are falling to pieces and are at each other's throats and are constantly fighting. Their family will be the one that the two dads with their son look down on and sneer at. And it's always the same. It's always our traditional family unit which is attacked. It's undermined because that's the bedrock of our civilization. That's the cornerstone of our society. And that is what they want to destroy by any means necessary in order to collapse everything else.
Mm-hmm. I think of the history of, say, American television, maybe American sitcoms, and you go back to the black and white ones from the 50s, maybe early 60s, and you think of, well, Father Knows Best. You think of, well, Leave It to Beaver, and you know, some other shows where the father was wise. There was a show about a maid called Hazel, and the father there was a lawyer, and he was very distinguished. And these are all in black and white. And then you start moving into where it's color in the 60s. And the first thing that they started doing was moving away from the nuclear family. So you had a show called Family Affair. And there were two orphans, and they had gone off to live with their uncle. My three sons, well, the woman was, I guess she was dead, and the mother was dead, and so this guy's raising his three sons alone. You got the Brady Bunch, where you have two divorcees, or maybe a widow and a divorcee, or something, widower and a divorcee, and they get married, and they merge their families. And Partridge Family, the father's not present. And so you start having... especially where the father's not present. And then you move into the 80s, and you're getting idealized families, but they are black, like Bill Cosby. And of course, Bill Cosby was such a great role model. And, you know, he was the ideal dad. And now, gosh, you started getting into exactly what you're talking about, where to the extent they have a father in the family, he's a buffoon. And it's almost as if there was some sort of agenda at work. But surely it's just a coincidence.
Well, I always thought that with the Cosby family, like the Cosby or the Cosby Show. I wasn't a huge sort of watcher of the Cosby Show. It's not something I would sort of seek out. In fact, just for the record, I don't really watch any television anymore. The only TV I watch is really the occasional documentary, or if my girlfriend happens to be watching something as sort of I'm passing through or doing something, I might catch a little bit of it. I think I have maybe one really guilty pleasure when it comes to television, and that's that I do rather enjoy the Gordon Ramsay cooking shows. I do enjoy him kind of losing his temper over a pan of scallops that weren't cooked correctly. But other than that, I don't really have much interest in television, but I have seen The Cosby Show, and it was played out as if the Cosby family were the perfect Americans. They were the pinnacle of American society, which I find very strange, again, because it goes against any kind of established intelligence, really. It goes against the established rules. It goes against statistics. Really, you see a huge percentage of black American families living in a very dysfunctional manner. You see a much higher rate of divorce or single parentage within African American families. But the Cosby Show tried to paint a completely opposite picture of this, to make it look as if the African American family was the perfect American family. It was the most stable. It was the most moral. It was really a slice of pure Americana. It was everything that you would want your family to be. And it's almost as if they had taken a family from, say, the 1950s or the 1960s, you know, the kind of family that would live in a lovely sort of four-bedroomed house surrounded by a white picket fence, and replace it with an African-American family to push that idea upon America, to push an idea upon America that actually the quintessential American family was an African American family. And in fact, what would be statistically far more likely to be found in the African American community was actually a myth. That was actually false. And in some way that, you know, potentially white people and white families should look up to this picture of perfection. And again, that exactly tallies up with what we're seeing now in these adverts from Tesco and other big companies that come out every Christmas that portray the perfect family as the non-white family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I've, growing up, I did watch a fair amount of TV. I think the first black sitcom that was for blacks, and it was, well, or depicted blacks as the main characters, I think it was Good Times. It was a spin-off of a show that was a spin-off itself of All in the Family, which was an iconic show. And they were in the projects in Chicago. But the next one, there was one with Red Fox in it. I can't remember the name of it. That was on NBC. But these were CBS. And the Jeffersons. And that was the first one that showed blacks as being rich and successful. And, of course, then there's been a whole string. You had The Cosby Show, which we were talking about. The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, which is where Will Smith got his start. And I think the father on that show was the aide to the governor of California or something like that. All right, well, we're coming up on the break, but there's a lot more to talk about. We'll be right back.
folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's Angioprim.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll-free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
We are back, and so we've been talking about adverts and TV shows and marketing and this and that. There was a couple of recent advertisements, you know, and I mentioned that whole Aetna enrollment kit where you would think that a white person opening this and looking at all the happy black people and then the mutilated white people would be turned off by it. You would think that Nike using Colin Kaepernick as its spokesman that their sales would plummet, and there might have been a couple of days of shaky stock prices, but actually Nike's done very well since then. And there was that Gillette commercial that featured, you know, it was a Me Too inspired commercial, but it featured two different scenes in the commercial. Black men, like white men seeing white women and wanting to approach them to talk, and then black men going up to the white men and saying, not cool, not cool. And you would think that that would have hit Gillette and its parent company, which is Procter & Gamble, doesn't seem to have hurt them. And so you're wondering, are white people just so demoralized that they'll see these images and just accept it? Is that what's going on?
I'm not sure what's going on, but I just listening to that. Can you imagine that? A black man looking at a black woman, obviously the implication is that he finds her beautiful, that he finds her attractive, that he actually wants to walk up to her and approach her. He wants to maybe ask her out on a date. But what happens? A white man steps in between the two and puts his hand on the chest of the black man and says, not cool. You can't approach that black woman. Now, I think if you made an advert like that, I think there'd be outrage. I think there'd actually be total outrage. There would be calls for whoever made it to lose their job. There would be calls for the company who made it probably to pay some kind of reparations or to spend huge amounts of money on charitable institutions that help to enrich the black community. But when you have a black man standing in between a white woman and a white man and telling the white man that it isn't cool for him to walk up to a woman of his own race and just say hi, that is praise. That's seen as somehow noble. And I really think when you're looking at this agenda, what they're pushing, it's quite obvious what they're trying to do. You know, here you have a black male preventing a potentially a white couple from forming. They're preventing a white man from talking to a white female, preventing them from coming together. And this sort of pushes the black man. It sort of promotes the idea that the black male is either a hero, some kind of heroic knight who prevents the white woman being harassed, or it sort of pushes the idea that he's the alpha male, he's the arbiter of who can go with who. He's the one who's deciding whether a white man gets to talk to a white woman. And all of these ideas sort of play into this fallacy that somehow the white male is the beta, that the white male is weak, that the white male, he doesn't have anything going for him. He isn't in control. In fact, the black male's in control. He's the alpha male. He's the one that the white male should look up to. He's the one that the white female should want. He is the one that is really the pinnacle of masculinity, which takes us on to another idea or another theme that you see in these films, in these adverts, in these TV shows, that increasingly the white male is the buffoon. Mm-hmm. He's the comedic sidekick. He's the dork. He can, in fact, a white male can only be masculine. He can only be strong. He can only be tough. He can only be assertive if he's the bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
A white male can only be tough or assertive if he's the bad guy. Otherwise, he has to be replaced by a non-white or by a female. And females and non-whites, they can be strong, they can be tough, they can be masculine, they can be heroic, but they can also be good because they're the new good guys. But we can only be strong, we can only be tough, we can only carry out masculine acts if we're the bad guys. So in the future, you'll see roles for white males. They will either be the bumbling buffoon and the sidekick, somebody who plays almost as a foil to the heroic female or to the heroic non-white, or will be the bad guys. And the bad guys will be generally one of two things. Bad guys will either be Nazis. They will be literal Nazis in sort of Nazi uniform, or they will have an English accent. They'll be wearing a suit. They'll be quite well groomed. And there'll be this sort of sinister, you know, Englishman who's come from overseas to exert some kind of evil influence on America through his business dealings. And they'll be the archetypes of evil.
And I think I raised this on a show with you earlier. There was, earlier this year, a Saturday Night Live skit where they had... What's his name? Idris Elba or whatever. He was the guy who might have been James Bond, but he's a male and they wanted a female James Bond, but he's a black British actor. And there was a game show. What role can you play? And he was on the game show and there was a white contestant on the game show. What role can you play? Name all the roles that you can play. The white guy says, white guy, fat white guy, and slave owner. Yes, that's all the roles that you can play. We will be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more, plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. By Christine, great for heart palpitations. By Anne, before I started using this product, every afternoon, my ankles and my hands would be swollen. That doesn't happen anymore. So if that part of their advertising is true, I have to assume that the rest of it is also. Not to mention that when I had my yearly blood test, only a few weeks after beginning to use this product, my cholesterol had dropped over 30 points. I'm going to continue to take it. By Croc, I love this product. It really works. By Brad, works great, thank you. Tell us your story. Get your Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Republic Broadcasting Network depends on listener support of our advertisers and of our sponsors. We'd like to especially thank all of you who have taken advantage of our fundraiser with FrontSight Bonus. Those who are now FrontSight members, please train as soon as possible for your sake and for that of our nation. And please consider sharing your training and what you've learned when you arrive home. Republic Broadcasting Network has to stop promoting this fundraiser on air and on the website in just a few days. Dr. Ignatius Piazza, president of FrontSight, made a gracious exception to his no media rule for us at Republic Broadcasting Network. Thank you, Dr. Piazza. And once you've been to FrontSight, feel free to call your favorite host and share your experience on the air. We can continue this fundraiser without media help, but it'll be totally up to the listeners to spread the information. Please call Dan Sutterfield in Missouri at 573-465-2356, 573-465-2356. That's 573-465-2356.
And we are back and we're talking about imagery. We are talking about the anti-white imagery that is pervasive, that is everywhere, and you can't avoid it. I saw in the past few days an advertisement from the ruling party of Britain, the Conservative Party, and it showed a black man, a young black man in a business suit. And the caption was something like, "Labour sees him as black. Tories see him as British." What do you think of that?
I think that's hilarious. I think it's hilarious, really, because both of those parties sort of see blacks as a key to sort of victory. And they both have their kind of, token blacks. Like Labour see blacks as sort of a revolutionary group. They see them as people who are disenfranchised, who they can whip up, who they can make hate the white establishment. Now, the Conservatives, obviously, a lot of them are white establishment. So, why do they like the blacks? Well, they have blacks in their party, or they have plenty of ethnic minorities, but they seem to use them as tokens, as like your token black, and they wheel them out to prove to the public that they're not racist, and they constantly like to bring out their black members. And I see that a lot in America, actually. I see that a lot in sort of Republican groups or conservative groups.
Well, there's the joke. What do you call the one black man at a conservative gathering?
The keynote speaker?
Yes.
Well, that doesn't surprise me. And I think that's really patronizing as well. You see, we've had plenty of people on my show who aren't of European descent, and we've had them on because they are very, very good speakers. We've had them on the show because they've had something to add. They bring something to the table that makes them interesting and engaging. We had Jesse Lee Peterson. We had Roosh V. We had those three wonderful gentlemen from South America. We had Syrian Girl. And I'd have all those people on again. You know, they're absolutely superb. They're great speakers, great advocates. And I've tried to book other people from other parts of the world to come on and speak to us because I think that's very interesting. If people have something to say, they should always be given a platform. But I tend to find that that isn't the case with Republicans and conservatives. They're not really bothered about their ethnic minority speakers and what they have to say. They're just bothered about having somebody from an ethnic minority up on stage. And in a way, that's very, very patronizing. It's very, very insulting. Because if somebody was putting me on stage because of the color of my skin and not because of what I had to say, I would actually look at them and be quite insulted. Because no one wants to be put up on a pedestal as a token character, as someone who's there just so that the organization can say, and look, we told you we weren't racist. People want to be up there because of merit. You know, you don't want to be the child who is given the bronze award at the competition because really he didn't deserve it, but he's actually got, you know, special needs, or, you know, he's slightly, he's got learning difficulties, or because he's the only black in the class, so we'd better give him something to get him on the pedestal. You know, he's not going to win gold or silver, but we'll give him the bronze to make it look inclusive. So when we take the photo at the end of the day, there's two white faces and a black face, so we can say, our school is multicultural. Well, that's really, really insulting. And I think that that doesn't actually help race relations at all. If anything, it hinders them because firstly, it takes a position away from somebody who genuinely deserves it. And secondly, it gives a sense of entitlement to people from other ethnic groups. And it makes them feel as if they should have a chip on their shoulder because they know they're not there through merit. They know they're there just to be a token character. And it plays into this whole mentality of playing the race card, of simply being able to say, well, you can't do that. I deserve to be there. Well, you know, I should get a bigger payout because I'm playing the race card. And I think both, you know, the Republicans, the Democrats, the Labour Party, the Conservatives, they've both played into this. And they've both done a huge amount to damage race relations. And of course, the end result of that is disenfranchising white people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly, exactly. I saw, we have this character who's running for president now, kind of ridiculous character with a ridiculous name, Beto O'Rourke, Beto. And of course, he's just asking to be called Beto O'Rourke. And he was saying something ridiculous on the TV, and he was speaking to a black caster from a news presenter from MSNBC named Joy Reid. You know, Joy Reid's very black. And I was thinking, was she from Ghana? Where is she from? Because, you know, she's the real American. And so I went to her Wikipedia page to refresh my knowledge on her bio. And no, she was actually born in America, but her parents were both like foreign students. And one was from, her father's from the Congo, and her mother is from Guyana, which is a part of South America that has a lot of blacks. So that makes her the real American. But at any rate, you know, I read down, and she graduated from Harvard. And, of course, I've seen her show a little bit, enough to know. Well, first, it's, you know, she's been called out for plagiarizing and other things. And also for, I guess, having denied that she had made Twitter posts that she had obviously made, things like that. She's not all that bright. But she got into Harvard, and you think of Michelle Obama, who I did my best for about 7 years. I very studiously avoided anything about Michelle Obama, but finally I couldn't avoid her anymore, and I came to detest her. But, you know, she was from Princeton. And so you have a fairly large subclass of these token blacks who are presentable enough that it's not just like the one black man at the Republican gathering. You go to these schools, and Harvard, their most recent their class that was admitted a year ago was over 14% black, and of course their scores and their credentials are way below the whites, the non-Jewish whites in particular, or the Asians. They're just way down there, and yet, there's this fairly large class, not just of people who are going to elite schools, but also blacks who, are probably below average IQ, but graduate from any school, and then they get snatched up for jobs that they're not qualified for, not elites, not MSNBC news presenters. But still, working at jobs in companies that they're not qualified for. And of course, it does come out of, it's certainly not coming out of any Jewish quota, or it's not coming out of any Hispanic quota or Asian quota. Everything is at the expense of whites. We're just being replaced. I don't know. I'm just going to throw it right back over to you, because I'm sure you have something smart to say about this.
Well, you have many, many smart things to say all the time. What I was going to say was, what you have here as well is something that really damages the state of the nation. And people might be thinking, what are you talking about, Mark? How does this really damage the state of the nation? You know, we're only talking a few places at universities. We're only talking...
Not a few. Not a few.
Firstly, it's not just a few. That's a very good point. It's not just a few. But what you actually see here is a situation where these places at universities should go to the best. And they go to the best because you want your nation to be the best. It's a system of selection. And that system of selection is there to ensure that the best are selected. And why do you want the best to be selected? Well, you want the best to be selected so that your nation becomes better, so that your nation becomes enriched, because obviously the best youngsters go to university, they get trained to the best of the university's ability, and they go on to do things that improve the nation. And this is something that's very, very important. But imagine if you no longer let the best go to university, if all of a sudden you started stopping the best going to university, and you started giving those places to people who weren't the best, all of a sudden, you would have a really, really serious situation, a situation where ultimately young people would stop being selected for the right reasons. They'd start being selected for the wrong reasons. And that would have a knock-on effect, because later on, when industries or the government or anything, or any industry or government department that needs talented people, needs to draw upon that pool of talented people who have been educated, who have been to universities, who have got degrees, who have got honours, well, that pool of talented people who would meant to have the right qualifications, who would be people you would expect to be trained to the correct level, well, they wouldn't be trained to the correct level. They wouldn't be the cutting edge, best of the best that you would need to drive the nation, to drive industry forward. And this would have a huge negative impact, because to take nations forward, you need the best scientists, you need the best engineers, you need the best inventors. And if you haven't got them, if they're not being selected, if they're not given places at universities, you end up with people who are substandard in positions of power. And that causes stagnation. That causes a situation to come about where your nation can no longer be at the forefront of technological advancement. And that would see civilization itself begin to stagnate.
Yeah, well, especially when this is happening in the leading countries. But, you know, there's a point I want to raise, and you're talking about the nation, and, you know, the question is, who is the nation? Now, some people might say, well, it's the traditional people. So in Britain, it's the white Britons, or in America, it's the white Americans. Others might say, well, it's who's here now? It's more of a CivNat thing, but who's here now? Let's just even say it's who's here now, and those are the people in the nation. But who's not here now is not in the nation. Even if you're just going to look after the people who are here now. I have a friend from Canada. He's an expat. He hasn't lived in Canada very much. But he's from Canada, and he thinks of himself as some sort of Canadian patriot, and everything Canada does is great, and they've got this immigration policy, and it's so tough to get into Canada. You have to pass these standards and these tests, and most native-born Canadians wouldn't even be eligible to immigrate to Canada because they're not good enough, but we're getting all these great immigrants. And, well, okay, first of all, I mean, I've seen plenty of videos from Toronto and Montreal on Colin Flaherty's channel, and there's certainly lots of blacks who are immigrants who are causing all sorts of crime in Canadian cities. But let's just go with the assumption that the people immigrating to Canada are so much better than the people already in Canada. So, if you're looking at the people who are here today, who are part of your country today, and you're saying, in order for us to be a better country, we are going to import a whole new class of people who are different from overseas to run everything so we can be a better country, is that a good thing? Is that colonialism? I mean, weren't the colonial metropoles, the colonial powers, they were importing a bunch of very capable people into African countries, and the Africans, didn't they have a right to say, well, I don't care if these people are good at this or good at that, Africa for Africans. So, yeah, do you see what I'm getting at there? That, so what if these people are, if the people who aren't here yet, who aren't part of the nation, are really good at things? Would you rather have a country that's maybe not at the forefront of everything, but your country? Or should we just, maybe we should just allow our country and every other country to go to the highest bidder in terms of who's got the skills? What do you think?
Well, I think there's a very interesting point to be made here. When people call it reverse colonialism, that's a really interesting term, and I've heard reverse colonialism used many times before. But the interesting thing with the term reverse colonialism is it's kind of reversed in two ways. Now, obviously, the first way is that you have people coming to the West who are not from the West. So, originally, people from the West went and they colonized places like Africa. So the reverse of that would be people who are not from the West coming from the West. So, say, people from Africa or people from the Indian subcontinent coming to the West. So that could be seen as a reversal of colonialism. But the other interesting thing about colonialism and the term reverse colonialism is that when we colonized other nations, when we went to other nations and we colonized them, we improved them. We took with us invention. We took with us innovation. We went to these places and we gave them clean running water. We gave them sanitation. We gave them health care. We gave them agriculture. We gave them clean running water. We gave them infrastructure. We gave them the written word. In some cases, we gave them the wheel. So colonialism, yes, we took things from these nations, but we gave more than we ever took. But that's the interesting thing about reverse colonialism. Not only is it a reversal of where the people are moving to and from. For example, as I said before, you know, reverse colonialism, you know, Britain had an empire, it had colonies, and now we are seeing people from those colonies coming to Britain. So yes, that is reverse colonialism, if you like, but also it's a reversal of what people are bringing to the nations that they're colonizing. Whereas Britain took many wonders to different countries and improved the quality of life in those countries for all of the people who lived there, the immigrants coming to Britain, those who are taking part in this reverse colonization, are not bringing wonders to Britain. They are bringing the reverse of wonders. They are bringing the reverse of benefits. In fact, they are bringing, in many cases, horrors, and they are making life worse for everyone in Britain.
And we'll be right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
It happens more often than we can imagine. In my case, I was sitting at home, and out of nowhere, I just started feeling uncomfortable. Then it got worse, and I started perspiring. I tried to ignore it, but I waited too long. The chest pain came as we were driving to the hospital emergency. I felt my life clock begin to tick. I barely survived. There was lots of damage done to my heart. What do I do now? I was lucky. I took a leap of faith and tried a 7-herb formula with hawthorn, garlic, cayenne, and more called Extendivite. Herbs have been used for thousands of years to keep us healthy. If you're not using Extendivite as a preventative supplement, maybe it's time to start. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future. We are back, and we've been talking about, well, the replacement of us both in images, in imagery, and also in reality. And, you know, speaking of having these wonderful high capability, high-skilled immigrants coming to make our country better, I tell you what, if we were getting a whole bunch of smart Chinese and high-caste Indians who were coming to be our new elite and replacing our Jewish tribal elite, I would say make America China again. I would rather be ruled over by Chinamen than by Jews. I've said it before and I'll say it again. But of course, that's not really the plan. The plan is to bring these people in here to replace the white collaborators right? Even the white collaborators aren't going to be safe. The white collaborators with Jewish power are going to be replaced. These people would be the managers. The Jews would still be the rulers. And I guess white people might be replacing blacks as people at the bottom of the totem pole. Or and so we can all mix together and have like some mulatto proletariat class. I don't know. But that seems to be what's going on. Any thoughts?
Well, I thought Alex Jones had already exposed that it was actually a large Chinese
Chicons!
Plot anyway.
Yes, it's the Chicons. They run Hollywood.
They run Hollywood. Yes, I'm sure they do. But the issue here, as you said, is the people we're bringing in, they aren't high IQ. The people we're bringing in aren't cohesive with us in a cultural sense. So we're not bringing in, because you see, if you said to me, tomorrow, Mark, immigration is going to be very different here in the UK. And I'd be like, well, how do you mean? How do you mean, Patrick? What do you mean by different? You said, well, we're going to start bringing in people on a needs basis. Oh, okay. So what do you mean by that? Well, we're going to be bringing in Japanese brain surgeons who are going to be performing life-changing surgery on British children. Oh, well, that's absolutely wonderful. We're going to be bringing in Chinese captains of industry who are going to be coming here and developing wonderful new techniques to improve British manufacturing. Wow. That sounds absolutely fantastic. And of course, these people would be coming in very small number. But the impact they would make, the positive impact they would make, would be huge. Yet instead, we are bringing in people in absolutely huge, huge numbers, huge volumes of people are coming in. But the kind of people coming in aren't brain surgeons. They're not rocket scientists. They're not captains of industry. They're people who are coming here without any skills whatsoever. They're people who can't speak the language. They're people who won't work. They're people who aren't coming here because they want to work. They're people coming here because they want free housing, free healthcare, free dentistry, free schooling. And then when they get here, they want to tell us how much they dislike us, for giving them those benefits. And that isn't how immigration benefits a country. That's how immigration destroys a country.
Well, thank you very much. You know, I had a Japanese brain surgeon friend. He was over here studying. This was like over 20 years ago. He was here for 2 years studying, doing research on the brain, and then he went back to Japan. Never heard from him again. But he did tell me one thing. He said that the brains are beautiful. And, well, I think there was a commercial for the Negro College Fund said a mind is a horrible thing to waste. Well, I don't know. We are wasting ourselves. But Mark, you're a great example for personal fitness. Now starting a family, and you're a great example for people. So please continue your work. And who is on your show, Patriotic Weekly Review this week?
Well, we are just finalizing that now. I've been very, very busy this weekend, and I'll be telling you next Monday just how busy I've been and what I've been up to. And we are just sorting that out as we speak. But whoever it ends up being, it will be a superb show.
Okay, and I will be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.